Good morning. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's good to see everybody here this morning. What a beautiful Lord's Day, isn't it? You think about it, we got the last day on the last week of the last month of the year. This is it. If you haven't paid your taxes, you better start scratching. But it's good to be here this morning with you. Stand and turn with me to number 203, Glory to His Name. Turn over with me in the same book to page number 179. Let's just praise our Lord this morning. Thank God as we go along, we have Jesus to hold our hand. Number 179. Thank you.
Brother Randall. Glad you're leading singing this morning. Glad to have Miss Janice playing the piano for us today. And we're thankful to see each and every one of you out today. We've got a lot of visitors with us today, and we thank you for being here. Although, I would say, holidays have been rough on our crowds. We're still down a little bit, and I guess people are still doing a lot of visiting and still taking care of things. We've got a lot of sickness around. Brother Bill is still down. In case some of you haven't heard, Sister Shirley Dillard had surgery yesterday, and she's doing well. She's having pain from the surgery, but she's doing well. And she's over here at St. Thomas, but she is in ICU and no visitors at this time. But want to keep her in our prayers is what we want to do. Mama Vern, I think, is still down a little bit. And others, we had some others that had some surgeries this week. And some of them are here today, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad everybody has made an effort to come out to serve the Lord today. We want to keep that in mind, that we're here to serve God and to worship Him today. And I just hope and pray that we can just do whatever we can to uplift the name of the Lord today. And we're just glad that everybody is here today. I do want to bring out a couple of quick announcements. This came to me yesterday. And during our past Wiseman Association, it was mentioned to us in our study on how to get their churches to do, or church members to do more studying of the Bible, have devotions with their families. And so they set up a committee for that. Brother Jesse Miller and Brother Trey Yates was on that committee. And it came out yesterday, and they asked us to announce this to our church. And basically what it is, let me try it again. They made the motion to do that. I was supposed to read this off, and I've done messed it all up. But it is a resource that could assist families and our churches in starting to grow their family devotional time. And that's something that all of us needs to try to do. Now, in this resource, you can find it on the Wiseman Baptist Association website. Brother Stewart is going to put it on our website, the links to it, and all you have to do is click on these links and you can, or type it into your browser, and there's some guides as far as how to do your devotions. And it's a good way of studying, is what I'll say. But they're going to have a weekly devotion on there, and it talks about the ways. But that will be available to you this afternoon on Facebook. Brother Stewart is putting it on the website. You can go to those two places and get set up for that. We will try our best to have it in our bulletins coming up in the next couple of weeks. However, my understanding is we do not have somebody, the time on the ones that were doing it has come to an end. And so we need volunteers, somebody to volunteer, or somebodies, I'll say it that way, to volunteer to do our bulletins for our church each Sunday. So if you have that ability and you have the time to do that once a week, please let Brother Tom know. Is what we would ask you to do. We've known about this a couple of weeks, and we haven't made that announcement that we need somebody to take over the bulletin. So keep that in mind, please. And it's something that the church uses greatly. Most people comes in, they grab one just to see what's going on in the church and in the coming week. So keep that in mind. The other announcement that I will make is today's offering will go completely towards our debt as far as our church debt is concerned, as far as the building fund and such as that. Today's offering will go that way. So keep that in mind today as you give. We want to wipe that debt out as fast as we possibly can. Everybody knows that interest rates are very volatile. very bad. We'll say it that way. I can't say the other word. But the main thing we want to do is wipe it out as fast as we possibly can. So keep that in mind today. With that, we want to get on about our service today. We are glad to see each and every one here today. We want to be prayerful for the ones that have been sick. My understanding, Sister Theta fell here a couple of weeks ago. I've been trying to get a hold of her and couldn't get a hold of her. Brother Stewart finally found out this week that she had failed. She's been in rehab for 2 weeks and is due to come home this week. So keep her in your prayers. Any other prayer requests? We mentioned Sister Shirley. Also, the others that were mentioned. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Lord, help. Lord, help. We do need to remember that. I didn't know about that one. It's a terrible thing to lose friends in school. Terrible thing for parents to lose children this way. Somebody else. Let's keep one another in our prayers, and let's just remember all those that are sick in general. But we're glad you're here today, and we're glad you're healthy and able to be here. We start, as we say, a new year after today. And our lesson today was basically on resolving to be a better child of God. That's the way I'm going to put it in a nutshell. Basically, we need to resolve to have a better year. I think that's what everybody would say. We had a good year. Let me elaborate on that just a little bit. If you've watched any of the TV news shows, they've been talking about what happened in the past year. To you today, what was the best thing that happened in this year? Now, I've got my opinion on that, and it's not publicized on the news stations. It's what happened in this church. You know, ones like this one and that one that got saved. That one over there, yeah. Some of them not here today. But the fact that we've got these over here that got saved, and that's the good news. There used to be a song years ago that was sung quite a bit. It made news in heaven when I got saved. And it made news in this church, and it went around everywhere. Let's resolve to have a better year than what we had. And that takes prayer, and it takes work. Yeah, it takes work to see people saved. So let's resolve to see more people saved. And you pick out somebody you want to see get saved, and you start praying for them. That's part of the work. And so keep that in mind. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? If not, we'll call on one to start our prayer this morning. But we ask everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Sam, if you would, start our prayer, please.
Turn with me over to page number 207. I've heard people say in the past, well, let's not mention this blood stuff. Well, let me tell you, brother, if you hadn't been washed in the blood, you won't get saved. It's all because of the blood. Number 207, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Number 96. That's where I found my salvation, at the cross. Number 96.
Thank you, Sister Janice. Thank you, Brother Randall, for the good singing. We appreciate the good singing that you brought forth today. Does anybody else have anything on your heart today? Let's try to be about the Lord's business today. Whatever the Lord gives us that we need to say for Him, let's follow Him. And let's just ask the Lord to bless our church. And we're going to take our reading lesson out of the last chapter of Jude today. The last chapter of Jude. I'm getting some smiles. Most time I'll say another chapter because there's only one chapter in Jude. We read part of this in our Bible study here a few weeks ago. And I'll go ahead and mention this. If you'd like to come to a Bible study, we do a Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Most Wednesday nights we have a meal here. We won't this Wednesday night, but we have a meal here. And it's so that everybody can have time to get off of work and get to church and good time of fellowship. We do it at 5:30 and then we have a Bible study. We have classes for all ages and we invite everybody, our visitors, to come and be with us is what we do. So we want you to come and just be with us during our Bible studies. Right now we're studying the first chapter of John is what we're studying. We studied about false prophets and false teachers before we started in on this, and this was one of the principal chapter books of the Bible that we brought out during that time, because the majority of this chapter is about false prophets or false teachers. And so today's message is not so much about that, but we ask that you pray for us as we try to stand today. We're going to start our reading lesson with verse 17, and this was the verse that got me to this chapter, or these first few words. Now that they, he said, these be they, let me try it again, 17th verse. But beloved, remember ye the words, and that was what got me to this place, but that's not our subject. But it's going to have a bearing on our message today. But it says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, and that means with great emotion, is what that is really meaning, having not the Spirit. In other words, they do it by emotion and not by the Spirit of God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves of your own most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. That's our reading lesson today. Verses 17 through verse 22 for our reading lesson. As I said, the part that brought us to this particular place was that very first phrase, meaning, and I think it was out of Jeremiah where I saw these words, and the Lord said, those words. And I said, Lord, is this my reading lesson? And no, it wasn't. So I did a search on the word, on the words of remember words. And it brought me, there's only three places where that comes in. Remember the words. But he says, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What greater authority do you need than those two? Actually, the very last one is enough. The words of Jesus Christ should be enough for each and every person. But as you notice, it says, but there'll come those that are mockers. And mocker is somebody that tries to sound like somebody that is in truth. You don't see a lot of it these days as far as in entertainment. In my early days of life, there was a lot of people who would do impressions. And probably one of the best ones was a man by the name of Rich Little. And I guess he's still alive. I hadn't heard of him dying. But he could pull out and do an impression of just about anybody. He was especially good at presidential figures. He could go back to John F. Kennedy, to Lyndon Baines Johnson, and up through the Bushes, and even Bill Clinton. He could do them all. And he would do different entertainers, and you wouldn't know the difference when he would talk. That's what a mocker is. It's somebody who tries to do an impression of the real thing. And he said, there'll be mockers that will come in and the last days. And in case you're wondering when the last days is, there's a lot of people that talks about it. Are we in the last days or not? My opinion, yes, we are. We're in the last days. And the last days is the period of time right before the Lord comes back to claim his people. We've been in it a while. So if you're expecting other signs and that will need to be done for the Lord to come back, they're done. I've studied it. They're already in place. He can come back at any given time. So, in these last days. Now, he said, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. I'm giving you just a quick rundown of those that he's talking about. It's of their own ungodly lust that they do these things. Whether it's desire for money or for favors of other people or just to build themselves up, it's ungodly lust that they do it. These be they who separate themselves. In other words, they pull themselves up to where that they put on such a show that people are drawn to them. Now, the reason why I'm bringing these parts out, these are things that you need to be wary of, to keep your eyes on, to make sure that you don't look at those things and be drawn off because of that. And you'd say, well, I'd never be drawn off to something like that that's not of God. But people in our ranks today are being drawn off constantly. Actually, in my short time here, I've met or talked with different ones who were either members here or used to attend here that have been drawn off to other places. And they do not preach or practice like we do. And you might say, well, that's all right, isn't it? Now, I'm of the opinion our church follows the Word of God as closely as we possibly can. We need to do better. I want to say that. We can do better. But as far as what everybody else is doing, they're off the mark. They're off the mark. And I want to say there's been a lot of people that have left this church body and went off after other things, and it's dangerous for their children or grandchildren, even their great-grandchildren, that they might be deceived into believing one of these mockers that would cause them to die and go into a devil's hell. That's how important it is. Now, to get down to our main part of our message, it's going to be about these last three verses that we read to you today. This is going to be the main part of our message today. But I want to give you a verse, first a couple of verses here. One is from the second chapter of Ephesians. And the reason why I want you to get this, I want us to realize why you were saved. Brother Stewart went all around my message today. I told Paula during about halfway through the message, Brother Stewart's trying to get all over my message again. But he done a good job. He didn't get on it all the way, but we'll get what we can. And the thought that we had today is starting over anew. That was what he went through. But I want to help you to start a new life. Use that family devotion thing that we talked about earlier. Start your devotion. If you don't want to use the one that has been set up for you, don't worry about it. Set up your own, but make sure you take a time in which you and your family pray and read the Bible daily. Daily is what you should do. But you might say, well, how do I start out? How do I do these things, and why do I do this? Second chapter of Ephesians, the 10th verse. But we are his workmanship. That is who God made us. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's our purpose as children of God. We are to be created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are to walk. God has ordained that everyone that he saves by his marvelous grace, that we should walk in his works, in his duties that he gives us to do. And the first question that you might ask is, well, how can I do this? If you look over to Romans, the 8th chapter, and basically this verse is talking about something other than our works, but it also tells us that this is how we can do this. in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, and he's talking about prayer here. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Again, as I said, we're talking about prayer here, but know that the Spirit will help you. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God will help you to be the child of God that He wants you to be. He saved you for a reason. The term that was used so much in my early days of my ministry, God did not save you to sit on a seat of do nothing. He did not do that. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. There are individuals out there that I might say that needs your help. Yes, they need your help. And the first things that I want to try to bring out in your minds as how you can help them is to start doing some of these things. First place I'm going is to the book of Titus this morning. And we want to look into the second chapter of Titus, looking first at the 11th verse. And it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto to all men. Now the grace of God is His favor. And everyone that has been saved has that portion of grace, His favor, upon us. And through us, His favor, God's favor, appears unto other people. All men is the way that Paul put it here. And God allows us to show forth the favor that we have. He allows us to show forth the salvation that He gives us. But He has allowed that to come about in our hearts. He said, and the glorious appearing of the, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Now, one of the things that is hard for us as individuals to do is to deny the worldly things that are about us. As he called it here, denying ungodliness. It is hard for us in this world today, as we live among the world, to deny the ungodliness that is here. And what it means to deny that ungodliness is to keep it away from us, to put it away from us, deny its presence in our being. It is for us to have a godly appearance, a godly outlook in our lives. It is for us to deny those things which we live among. The people tells us today we are to live in this world, but not to be of this world. That is scripture, by the way. That we are to live in this world, but not be of this world. God saved us with that purpose in His mind, that we might live unto good works. I know that it's not an easy practice for us to do. It may be that we have to deny things that are of our family. It might be that we have to deny things that goes on in our schools or in our workplace. We may have to say, keep that at length from me. I would appreciate it if you didn't speak that way in front of me. I'm going to tell you, I've worked in a lot of places over the years. I used to work construction. And if you've ever been around construction people, especially those that travel from place to place, most of those people are very ungodly people. And I'll be honest with you, as saved as we are, and as much as we try to live a godly life, it'll still get into your minds. It'll still creep in there. But it's for us to deny that ungodly act that is out there. The popular thing in the world today is to say anything is all right. You just live the way you want to live, and I'll live the way that I want to live, and it'll all be all right. That's what the world tells us today. But God has set a standard for us, and it's called godliness. It is. It's called godliness, trying to live like God, trying to live like Christ did, trying to live like his apostles did. Remember the words of the apostles and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remembering those things which he has taught us in his time. You can find it in his word here. But preacher, that's not exactly the way that we want to live today. Is that not what we tend to do? Is that not what we tend to say unto our friends? Well, I go to church on Sunday, but today is Monday. If we don't watch out how we act or what we say, the next thing we may know is we may be living just like they do. We will, actually. There used to be a saying that if you play with hogs or pigs, you'll end up smelling like a pig. And you will. It is important for us to get that godliness in our hearts, denying the ungodliness that is there. But he also said in that verse there, and the worldly lust, that's one of the things that will creep into your lives, is that worldly lust that is there. When you are about people that are lusting after ungodly things, I'm talking about even like money, and it starts to creep in on you. Sometimes it may be just trying to cheat a little bit, trying to make something happen that's not exactly right. Maybe it's something a little bit more than that, but it is a ungodly lust in our minds to try to fit in to a better world. But it's not better. It is for us to keep in mind what he told us over here. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer is the beginning of that. We talked about how the Spirit will help us pray. If you do not know how to pray, remember how you prayed the day you got saved. That was the first time that you really got through to God. Remember how you prayed that day. There was probably a humbleness there. There was a strong desire there. There was a great need in that prayer. And in that, you gave reverence unto God, saying, maybe it was something like, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need to be saved. But you recognized who he was. But the Spirit, even if you don't know how to put it in words, the Spirit will give you those words if you'll just listen. He will help you, is what he'll do. But as he goes in our reading lesson here today, when he talked about those things, he said it is important for us to build upon these things. In 1 Thessalonians, I want you to look at the 9th and 10th, no, excuse me, not 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to Colossians is where we need to be. In verse 6, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, being saved in other words, so walk ye in him. Now this is how you build. You start out praying. You start out seeking God's will. You start out by just putting away things that will take you away from the Lord. You start taking those things outside, denying the ungodliness. But what he says here in this verse here today, in this sixth verse, he said, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus and so walk ye in him, he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. It's important for us. And this message today, as much as anything, is for those that might be a babe in Christ. That's what Paul called you, a babe in Christ. We have some that just got saved here a few months ago. You may have been saved a few years now. But have you really got rooted in on Jesus? Yeah, you're saved, but what about his holy faith? Being in his church, being a part of that. He says in the seventh verse, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. I want you to notice it's the faith. And when he says the faith, it means a particular one. And if you really go back and look at the Greek word for that, it does. It means this particular faith. Whose faith? Remember what the words which the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ told you. These words. If you can't find it in here, you don't need it. I'm going to be honest with you. You don't need it. But he says, get rooted in the faith. Get rooted in his church. Somebody posted this week, and I'm not going to try to remember exactly who it was, but they thanked God for their church family. Thank you for that. Thank you for being thankful for each other. I hope and pray today you are thankful for these brothers and sisters that sits around here today. I hope you're thankful for the ones that maybe are not able to be here today, but they were here when you were growing up in this church and you saw their actions and their works that they did for the Lord, and you saw those things and it impressed you. That's part of getting rooted in. You get grounded in to the church. You get grounded into that. You know why it's good to be thankful for a church family? Because when you're in need spiritually, maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need help spiritually. Maybe you just need somebody to talk to. Maybe there's times when the temptations of life is getting heavy on you. Your church family can help you. You may not want to talk to your mother and father about certain things. You may not want to talk to me. But there's people in this church that can listen to you, that can advise you scripturally how to live your life. You get rooted and grounded in a church where it is rooted and grounded in the faith of Christ. They'll guide you in the right ways. I had a friend years ago that basically he had a lot of, we'll just say, problems with depression and other things. You know where he would go most of the time when he got depressed? Away from the church. You know what he did? He'd go off the edge of a cliff, basically. He'd get worse. Finally, when he'd get down so far, he'd finally start creeping back to the church. And next thing you know, he'd be back up. He'd be back into church again. You know why? Because the church was praying for him. Because the church and the pastor was trying to help him. They try to bring him back in. They try to give him things to do and things in that way. And he'd get back into play to the place where he needed to be again. I'm I'm telling you, where that you find strength is in this place with these people, with this faith that the Bible is laid out for you. That's where you get rooted and grounded in that faith. Now, he said, and ye have taught abounding therein with thanksgiving. He said, you can be thankful. Thankful for that church family. Thankful for this word. Thankful for our Savior. The more you thank God for the things that you have, the more you will appreciate those things. But he said, beware lest any man spoil you. And what that means is, get you in a place where they take from you. They'll take it from you. To spoil means to ruin, to make rotten. This world out here really doesn't want you to do well. Oh, they say, there's plenty of people say, well, I'd love to help you make $1 million. I'd love to help you get the best job out there for you. That's good. That's fine. But will it bring true happiness? True happiness is in the Lord. True happiness is in His salvation. True happiness is working in God's church and seeing people saved. I'm here to tell you, that's the best rewards there is. Hey, did you hear them? They agreed with that. There's nothing better than seeing a soul born into the family of God. See if I get an amen on this. Is there anything better than seeing a soul get saved that you've had a burden for? Oh, good. Bless your hearts. I tell you what, it's really good when you lead somebody into a place where they can get saved. He says here, beware of any that will spoil you through philosophy. You know what philosophy is? Somebody's opinion. Somebody's sweet words. Well, it sounds good. I don't know a lot of Confucius sayings, but they usually say they sound real good. There's a lot of preachers that makes things sound good. But they will ruin you. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know what deceit is? That's a lie. But vain means that they do it for their own welfare, not yours. After the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Beware of these things. This is what you need to be, rooted in the truth so that these things do not harm you. That they don't drag you off. Let me ask you something. I think every one of us at one time or another has dealt with somebody who got hooked on drugs, right? There's always somebody that gives it to them the first time. You know that? Why do they do that? If they knew within themselves, and most drug addicts really knows what it does to them. Oh, it'll make you feel good. Yeah, for a little while, how does it feel when you get off of it? Same thing for drinking. How does it make you feel when you're coming down? Awful. Why did they do that to you? They wanted you to be a part of their downfall. It's deceitful. Oh, it'll make you feel good, but it made you feel bad. Well, it made me feel bad, but I felt good. But then I felt bad. It's deceitful in their ways. Now, listen to that verse. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's speaking about Christ. And ye are complete in him. When you get into Christ, when you get into Jesus, He will help you and He'll strengthen you. It'll help you to be what you need to be in life. It'll help you to live a happier life. It'll give you joy. That's what Brother Stewart was talking about in our lesson today. He was talking about us growing in His ways so that we might not start a new year, but basically starting today, being a new Christian, being a new child of God, one that is working after the manners of God. Now, there's one thing else lacking. Let's go back to our reading lesson. 21st verse says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's the way Brother Stewart started out this morning. Was talking about the love of the church. Now I'm going back to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and this time I'm in the right place. The love of God, what will it do? Paul told the Thessalonian church this in the 9th verse. He said, and as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. Why did he say that? They knew what they had. You as a church here today, you know about the love for one another. If I look at different ones of you, there's times, and I'm going to say it this way, there's times I see your love for them, for this other person over here. Yeah, there's times when you don't want to sit next to them. Really, you just soon bypass them. But down deep, there's always those times where you really love them. You know, when in our revival, as each one of those kids came to the altar and started praying, you know, I saw the love of different ones. Some of them came up here and were just around them and praying. Some of them were encouraging. Some of them were going, just sitting in their seat, but you could tell they was praying for those kids. There's times when we see one another here in this church and we know they're hurting because of something that's going on in their lives, and we just love them. We see people walk up to them, put their arms around them, just hug them up tightly a little bit. They show that love. Some of us, we're not raised that way, but we still love you. We do. And we show our love one to another. And that's what Paul was saying to them. He said, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And that's what the scripture tells us. Now get this 10th verse. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. That's where they was at. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. What did I say earlier that the Lord didn't save you to do? Sit down on a seat of do nothing? He didn't save you for that reason. And if you think you're thinking within yourselves, well, I love everybody. I love Brother Rodney. I love Brother Sonny. I love Brother Stewart. I love Sister Priscilla. I love Sister Paula, Sister Cheryl. I love all of them. Is that what you're saying? But increase it. He was saying increase it. Because that love will generate even more a root to you. One of the things that I've noticed in my life out in the country and in the farm and such, the roots of a tree, they branch out. You know that, don't you? The tree, most time they say the roots of a tree is as big as the top of it. You ever heard that? If you look at the top of a tree and it's spread out everywhere, what else is growing around it? Maybe there's a few little saplings, small trees. Maybe there's another tree over here that's a fairly good size, but when the winds of life comes along, that old big tree helps hold them down. It holds them in place. Well, that tree doesn't have love, but the church does. The church will hold you down. When winds of life get a hold of you and it's shaking you around, how many times did you see in the news here a couple weeks ago about the tornado? You noticed them trees broke off, but you'd see one that's standing firm. It had a good root. Let me give you one more verse and I'll quit. Brother Randall, you can get ready to sing. Verse 22 of our reading lesson, and some have compassion making a difference. Well, compassion, that's love, right? Compassion's a little bit more than love, is really what it is. Compassion is more like showing your love. If you see somebody down and you look at them, well, I love them, but I don't want to go help them. They're out in the mud. I don't want to get my feet muddy. But then you had compassion when you seen just how stuck they were. And you waded in to life to deliver them. That makes a difference, is what he said. Best way to do it is have enough love and compassion for everybody that you can do it. As we start a new year, let's resolve to be a better church, to love one another more, to help these younger ones, the ones that's in the that are babes in Christ. And I'm not just talking about the little ones that just got saved, or these, I should say these that just got saved. Brother Lane is a good full-grown man, and he just got saved. But he's just learning what it is. Hey, there's some of us that's older that's still just learning a lot. But you help me. Oh, you don't know how much you helped me grow. It's your compassion and love for me. Let us love one another. The altar is always open to pray. For those that are unsaved, you can be a part of this by being born into the family of God. And that's what these altars are for. But it's also for us, the saved, to pray also. There's times when we need to get down and pray and talk to God. Remember, God will help you. He'll help you. I need to hush. Brother Randall, while we sing.
Number 191. 191, just as I am.